The Sports Cage on Demand is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse, with the best food and drink specials and the most TVs for your favorite sports.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Hey, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Cage, coming to you live from the Brand Center. Tim Hortons Brier, day four. Scruffy's with me. The Duke's with me. We're live for Saskatchewan Lotteries right in the West End Concourse of the Brand Center, out front of the old Pat's office. Now it's the Pat's store, ready to talk some curling, some basketball, and whatever else comes up on the program today.
It just happened moments ago.
What?
I sort of had nightmares when I did this show at the 2015 Scotties and Moose Jaw. Just as we were about to go on the air, a kind woman walked up to you and said, "Do you have any pins?"
Is that what she asked for?
And you didn't have any.
And what was my reaction?
No, we don't.
No!
Nope.
Get lost!
That's basically the way I was in Moose Jaw. It was like, I'm on the air. And
they don't,
like, I have
they
this
don't
woman
care.
Telling, I know they don't.
They don't care.
And they're telling, "Do you have any pins?" "Ma'am, I'm on the air. I'm doing a radio show." "Well, do you have any pins?" "Go away." Do you remember Tom Strangward?
Oh, yeah.
He was
Tom,
like,
the intern.
He was just laughing his A-dollar signs off watching this go on.
Derek Myers is here. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay. I'm just welcoming you because I'm going to continue with some stories here.
Some pin stories?
Yeah.
They love our pins.
If our boss, Grant, is listening, Grant, can you text me, please? Because I feel like a carny on the midway behind the counter here.
Everybody want to go faster?
Yeah. I'd like to run that ride, the Polar Express.
Would. I know you would.
But I've been sitting here for half an hour. I've been asked six times for sponsor pins, squishy, curling rocks. I don't have these things. And, of course, I get this, Mitch. You missed it. Well, the last guy did. Yeah, well, I don't.
Who was the last guy? You've been the only guy.
Where's the girls? Because yesterday I came by here, and one of our street team was here. She had the curling rocks. She had some tickets. She goes, "What am I supposed to do with these?" I said, "I don't know."
Give them to Rod would be a good place to start. Anyways, Grant, can you text me if they're to be found somewhere around here? So I don't feel like...
Why don't you just tell them, "No, but I got some candy."
Yeah, exactly. What else do you need? The other thing...
We have some bills in your...
Yeah. The other thing, I'm going to walk out, and for our listeners that know the Brand Center or Agrodome, I go to walk out the southwest doors this morning over here up the ramp, and the lady stops me. Oh, you can't go out those doors.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "I'm sorry, miss. I've been going out these doors for 40 years. I'm going to go out these doors."
What?
And she goes, "What?
No,
you're not supposed to. No, you're not." Also, shoot, slam. I'm gone. I went out the door.
Did she give you a parking ticket?
Avalanche of snow off the top of the Brand Center. Kaboom!
That'll learn
you. And I'm like, oh. That's why she didn't want me to go.
Well, there's two reasons for that. One, there's the snow. Two is the fact they do not want any of the air coming in during the event because of the cold air.
It's all good.
With the ice conditions.
I understand. I'm not done my story.
All right.
So I walk around the south side of the Brand Center where I've been parking ever since I've had a driver's license. And one of the longtime maintenance guys here is chipping at ice out front of the players' entrance. And we get talking. And I said, "The lady down here didn't want to let me out. Pretty good reason why. Snow's coming off the top. Would you mind putting a barricade on the inside doors or the yellow tape just so nobody can go out those doors?"
"Ugh, that's a good idea."
And I'm like, why do I got to do the thinking for everybody?
I know.
And then I looked at Greg Mayer's truck, the Pat's therapist. Did I show you a picture
of this?
Yes,
you did.
The Pat's longtime therapist trainer is buried. It's like it's a snowbank with a truck underneath it somewhere.
So in other words, it looks like a lot of vehicles in Regina right now after what we've experienced the last couple of days.
Yeah, but this is worse. This
a little bit, yeah.
Because
couldn't
it
happen to a better guy.
Oh, I sent him a picture of it. He's on the road with the Pats. Who are they playing tonight?
Medicine Hat.
In Medicine Hat, the return of Matt Bradley. And so the maintenance guy was, while I took a picture, was standing there. He goes, "Remember when Torchy Simpson, his windshield and his hood got smashed?" Yeah.
Whoa,
$6,000.
Really?
Came off the roof?
$6,000 of damage came off the roof of the Brand Center. So I kept standing there talking with the guy. I got my window rolled down. I guess I wasn't standing there. I was sitting in my car. And he goes, "I'm actually shocked that nobody's been seriously hurt in the 40 years this place has been open."
It was funny because when I was coming in here this afternoon, about quarter after one, a big chunk came down right by the player's entrance. And I know that there had been some vehicles there yesterday, and they weren't there today. I don't know if because it was because they knew that snow was going to come down or not, but you could hear it, like, walking in from the parking lot. It was loud.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if there's so much snow hanging off the stadium roof right now.
At Mosaic?
Yeah, stop.
Who would know? There's nothing going on there, so it doesn't matter. But anyways, that was my experience. That was all this morning. I wanted to come down and watch the Laycock Northern Ontario game.
Good game.
Which, what did they call it? A paddling. Saskatchewan paddled Northern Ontario. What was it, 8-4?
8-4 final.
Yeah, 8-4 final. They got four in the first end and basically went from there. I wanted to come down and watch that game this morning, but I couldn't get off my street.
Yeah, well, it's in
me and many others.
It's insane. It's this town right now is immobilized.
Snow. It's unbelievable. I came back from Saskatoon on Sunday morning, and it was progressively getting worse and worse and worse. And I thought, how bad is this going to be? It hadn't even started snowing yet, and then it kicked in. Oh man, like that's
all I know is these Category 1s through 4s. I've been driving a lot of them. They seem okay. Those Category 5s, you might want to start getting to work on those.
Well,
and apparently they are at some point.
Can I say this?
Maybe.
Hey, you City of Regina snow removal guys, you're doing a great job. That's what I think. They can't get everywhere. I've seen they're just getting ripped on social media. Do you think that they want to have you delayed? They'd love to get to every
although
street.
I did see the other night coming down Arcola, they graders, three of them, do they not have to follow the street lights? Because I had a green, and they were coming the other way, and they just continued on through the red.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And that could have been a real problem, because they don't have blue flashing lights or anything like that. They just decided that they were going through. I didn't want to bitch too much, because, they are cleaning the streets.
I'd just like to see a grader down my street, because I think it was like the last time was maybe after the Riders won the Grey Cup. And I'm not joking.
You've had some issues. I understand that, and I get you. But anyways, let's get around to sports.
Okay.
And Saskatchewan is on a roll. They've won three in a row, the Stephen Laycock team.
Probably four tonight.
Who do they got?
None of it.
They got none of it. Derek, you're the curling aficionado. And if I may, let me just stop before we go any further. I'm like a fish out of water at this place. I still am. Like, I'm not going to pretend to be a hipster and say that I know what's going on. I don't. Are you supposed to be social and visit at this thing? And are you supposed to watch intently? I don't get it. I'm trying to watch a game, and there's an eruption around the rink. I missed something.
There's a real knack to watching a Breyer, a Scotty,
I don't have it.
Live.
I don't have it.
And it takes some time, and the curling fan vets can watch all four sheets at once. It really takes some time, because I was like you the first few times I was at one of these live. I missed everything. There'd be a cheer and I'd look over and try and find out what happened. I missed everything because I was so intent on the one sheet that I was watching. They have a real knack here, though, for being able to watch four sheets at once and carry on a conversation and ask for pins at the same time.
Or demand them.
I think the key word there, demand.
Well, furthermore, I'd love to go around. How many people are there right now today, Mitch? 3,500, 4,000?
I was going to say about 3,500, 4,000 in there today.
I'd love to disseminate a survey or questionnaire as to where they're from. Because my question to Mitch was, are these all Saskatchewan people here? Are these Regina people? How many are traveling from across the country to come to this event?
And I think, you know, having been here all week, there are pockets of fans from every province or territory that are here. You know, like, as I said, when we were having this conversation on the media bench, I pointed over to you, there are three women rooting for Nova Scotia. They've got the hats on. You know, yesterday, PEI, when they were playing Saskatchewan, there was a pocket over on the far end. I think 90% of the people here are Regina slash
really?
Southern Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
I would say so. But there's a good pocket of people from out of province as well. And I know that when you combine this with the basketball that's coming into town, I know they're starting to come in here starting tonight, there's not many hotel rooms left right now. Which is great. And so
they're not getting a fight with the girlfriend then.
So that tells you.
Where are you sleeping?
Exactly. So that tells you that there's a lot of people here for this event. Now, a lot of people probably wanted to be here Sunday, Monday, couldn't do so because of the weather, because the highways were closed. But yeah, it's been I talked to Rob Dewhurst about that yesterday, the event manager. Did that present any problems? And he said No, not really. Like, the volunteers, and some of them are from out of town, they phoned up and they said they couldn't make their shift or whatever, but people are like, yeah, okay, I'll cover for you. So, which is so
Prairie,
Saskatchewan.
Prairie Mobile text line from Nick in Regina, and I think he's one of the volunteers I've been visiting with. He says, met a couple of guys from the Peachtree Curling Club in Atlanta, Georgia.
What?
And that is, like, again, not me, not taking holiday time to go to the Great White North and watch curling. That's just awesome for them. But is curling becoming a thing in America? Braden Muscoe sat in that chair yesterday, Mitch, and said they were at a spiel in Phoenix in January.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
And if you saw the outdoor game in Washington the other night, John Schuster threw a rock before that game started, starting from the goal crease out to center ice. So John Schuster, who won the Olympic gold, he's put curling on the map in the U.S. They said it was Miracurl on ice, sort of like the USA win in 1980.
That's cool.
I don't know if John Schuster is the American rep for the Worlds in Vegas, but with the World Curling Championships in Vegas, and that's where the winner of the Brier goes, you know that curling, after what happened at the Olympics, is going to have more intensity on it. The spotlight's
going to
shine on it, which is great. And the fact that John Schuster won the event, the American, it's just going to mean bigger and better things for the sport. So, did Canada win a medal? No. Is the game growing globally? Yes.
Myers is saying, sign me up for the Vegas curling
Yeah, that'd be outstanding. I was just thinking that Schuster was lucky that the stormtroopers from Toronto there didn't fire their laser guns at him.
Look at those uniforms. I hated them. A lot of people loved
awful.
Them.
Awful. Just awful.
Yeah,
like,
I wasn't
some
big
of the
on
worst
them.
I've ever seen.
I wouldn't know if they were the worst, but I wasn't big on them. A lot of people are like, these are the best things I've ever seen. Really?
Between them and the Pittsburgh Steelers,
the Leafs jerseys on Saturday night.
No, I know. The Rider equipment guys were here watching curling yesterday, and they loved them. They said they look like the Rider stormtrooper.
I don't mind the Riders all whites for some reason, but they're playing on a green surface, not a white surface.
Right.
With white boards, with snow around.
I wondered how the heck I missed it entirely. I don't even know what those jerseys look like. And then I realized that Saskatoon trip to watch the Rush was almost a 24-hour excursion. I didn't have a television on, so I missed it. I'll have to take you guys' word for it. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, live from the Brier. Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. We do have a very special treat coming up on the program today. Sportsnet's Arash Madani is coming to town for the National Women's Basketball Championships at the U of R this week, which begins Thursday. He's coming right to the Brand Center Live a little later on during the program to spend some time with us. That'll be a blast. For now, we'll step back. This is the Sports Cage on Rider Radio 620 CKRM. Back live from the Brier in the Sports Cage, time for the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. The Winnipeg Jets try for a third win in a row when they visit the New York Rangers tonight. The Jets enter the game 6 points back of surging Nashville for first in the Central. The Preds have won 8 in a row. They're home to Dallas tonight. Vancouver Canucks forward Brock Besser will likely miss the remainder of the NHL season after the team said he will be out 4 to 6 weeks with a back injury. The star rookie left Rogers Arena on a stretcher and was taken to a hospital after a collision in the Canucks' 4-3 overtime win over the Islanders last night. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have put the franchise tag on all-pro running back Le'Veon Bell for a second straight spring, putting his long-term status with the club up in the air. Bell's scheduled to make $14.5 million this year if he signs the franchise tender, and the two sides are unable to reach an agreement on a new deal by the season opener. That's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Head to Boston Pizza for a rib rageous all month long. A full rack of slow roasted ribs and two delicious sides, only $17.95. Boston Pizza, gather round. Duke and Scruffy with me here on Tuesday at the Brier. Why are you guys not jumping out of your seats that Stephen Laycock's won 3 in a row? This place should be going nuts.
You didn't see me earlier today, and he's not on the ice today. Well, he's not on the ice right now. He's on.
Why are you two not going nuts? Not him.
Because he didn't play this afternoon. And I told you, you saw me earlier today. I said that was a huge win for Steve Laycock.
It was a
beating
really big
Brad game. Jacobs this morning. That probably puts him into the championship pool. He'll probably finish in the top four. He's got 2 round-robin games left. He plays none of it tonight. Should be 4-2. He'll play Ontario's John Epping tomorrow afternoon. When we're doing this show, he'll be on the ice. That's a toss-up, but I think he's got no worse than a tiebreaker, and that's what the organizers want is for him to be in that final eight, and I think he's going to be there.
So you guys, you expected it, so you're not
that
excited.
Yeah, I expected him to be there.
Yes, and I'm still struggling with this format. I'm struggling to see that in the sixth end, Northwest Territories is getting their butt kicked 10-1. Nunavut is getting crushed constantly. UConn, it's just...
They won last night.
Yeah, well, great. I mean, Squirrel finds a nut, too. I mean, it's just, I it's just, as Vic said, we have gone so overboard with politically correct and trying to be all-inclusive.
Agreed.
That, to me, it's lost some of its allure. It should be special to get that Purple Heart on your sleeve. It should be special to represent, not just because, you come from somewhere.
And when I was saying yesterday, when Luke was sitting there crowing yesterday about getting this going, I was dead serious. Luke Mullender could find three guys and go up to and represent Nunavut in the 2019 Briar and Brandon. I wasn't joking, because that's what the qualification, it's like, oh, you're a Renko, can you crow? Oh, good, you're going to the Briar.
Well, hang on.
And how inclusive is it? Two teams from Newfoundland here, two teams from Ontario here, two teams from Manitoba here, one team's from the rest. Like, you're trying to be inclusive, but you're actually not,
You're saying you're denigrating your own product. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes.
It's not as good.
So why did they think this was a good idea in the first place?
Because it's the right thing to do.
Because to be politically correct,
Rod.
Everybody has to be involved, Rod.
Participation.
Curling Canada has all these provinces and territories, and they all want to be involved. So let's bring them in and basically soften the game.
I mean, why doesn't the CFL go to giving the top team a bye and then the rest of the eight get into the playoffs and play each other, because we all need to be in there because we don't want anybody's feelings to be hurt.
So, listen.
Take a hike.
When this thing is done, the CCA is going to sit back and say we screwed up?
No.
They're going to look at it.
But they still, here's the thing. The top teams, when it comes to the weekend or later in the week, the top teams are still there.
And here,
Jennifer Jones is still there and winning. It'll still be Gushu.
Brad Gushu will still be here. Brad Jacobs will still be here. Mike McEwen will be here. Reed Carruthers. The rinks that you thought would be here will be here. And I was talking to one guy today, and he says, I don't like this 16 either, because to me the Briar now isn't going to start until Thursday morning when that top eight starts. He says, you're almost weeding the guys out, and if you're going to have a so-called relegation round, why wouldn't you do that beforehand? That's what they were doing when they had the four rinks play in the couple of days before the event, and then the top two played in draw one. The winner kept going. The other was like, see ya, thanks a lot for coming. Here's your suitcase. Have a nice trip. But I didn't have a problem with that, because you were still seeing the best ranks. And you weren't, it was the round-robin format, and now, you could have Newfoundland, Brad Gushu against Brad Jacobs right off the bat. And now, because of this pool system, we might never see Gushu play Jacobs. Now, we will, because both of those guys are going to win their respective pools. But
has anybody talked to none of it? Those guys, are they embarrassed? Like, when you talk about the trophy generation, everybody gets a trophy.
I haven't, but I think our boy McNally is coming down here tonight to cover the evening draw. And
let's get him on it.
Yeah, I think he's going to. So,
how do you ask that question?
Well,
are you embarrassed to be here?
Well, it's got to be.
How do you ask it?
Like, it's got to be difficult for them. Because they know when they're walking in, and they know that they're probably not going to win, and that they're going to be calling it after eight ends, because you've got to play eight at the Briar. I don't envy them, that's for sure.
Well, I just read the column on Laycock's win this morning, and I don't know if you read it on the curling website, and he's like, curling.ca, he says, well, we're going to be 4-2. I don't want to look past none of it, but we'll win tonight, and then tomorrow, it is an embarrassment. But you set yourself up for that, Curling Canada.
Uh-huh.
So what did you expect? Do you expect that none of it was going to come here and be competitive? Is that what they thought?
And I don't buy the argument, and it's the same in women's hockey at the Olympics. It's the same with several sports. The argument that by including them, you are helping progress the sport in that country, in that province, in that territory.
Yeah.
Really? So for 6 days, four guys come.
And get embarrassed.
And play. How is that?
And how many of them are actually from your region?
But how is that even furthering this? Like, I don't understand how that furthers the sport. They're not on TV because TSN's not putting those games on if they don't have to. So nobody's seeing it. I don't buy that argument. That
major boo-boo then by the CCA. I don't get it.
Yeah, it just seems that they cannot find a format that pleases everyone. And the one that did please everyone was what we used to have, where it was all the territories, or all the provinces.
You knew what it was.
All the provinces of Northern Ontario, and they curled a 10-game round robin, your page playoff system, you get your winner. And now they've just completely, by having to include everybody.
Inclusive.
They've screwed it up.
Did Trudeau come up with this? He must have had a hand.
Well, he's going to be here later on this week, so you never know.
But not for curling.
Well, you never know where he could show up.
Maybe
he'll look like a Scottish curler.
He'll have a kilt on.
He'll have a kilt on. And
we will take a timeout. Sports Cage is coming to you from the Brand Center and the Tim Hortons Briar. This is Rider Radio, 620 CKRM. Welcome back to the Sports Cage, everybody. Coming to you live from the Brand Center. Tuesday at the Tim Hortons Briar, Duke and Scruffy are with me talking sports. By the way, if there are any questions or comments you'd like to inject into the discussion, fire them at us. Prairie Mobile text line 551-CKRM, 551-2576, or write us on Twitter at Rod Peterson. It's powered by Miller High Life, the champagne of beers, now available in Saskatchewan for the first time. Please enjoy responsibly. I think it was Friday night I had Ballsy on the air. And I said, we've been talking, guys, for about a year and a half of that. Hey, just think, the Briar's coming. The National Women's Basketball Championships are coming. The Memorial Cup's going to be here. Boom, 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 boom. And it's all here, save for the Cup.
Yep.
So the city is on fire right now, and that's very exciting. And it's a financial boom for the city. And, Mitch, for those that are just tuning in, I'm going to put it to you. Try to not put them to sleep when I say, what's the buzz at the Briar today? Because I asked you that when I walked in, and you said nothing.
Nothing. Well, because I wasn't here for the morning draw, but obviously the fact that Steve Laycock,
that's the buzz,
won. And I think there's now starting to get an excitement in here because they realize that, in the manner that he won. Like, he didn't just beat some schmo today. He beat Brad Jacobs today, who's one of the favorites to be hoisting the tankard Sunday night. And he didn't just beat Brad Jacobs.
He paddled him.
In your words, he mollywopped him. He got four in the first, and he just
he
went
came
on
ready
from there.
To play.
Yeah, he came ready to play, and now there's a buzz in the building that, as you said, they play none of it tonight. You know that, barring the fact they don't get here, that they're going to win that game.
Unless some ice comes off the roof
exactly.
of the center and gets them in the head.
Exactly.
They're snowed in.
Yeah, so they'll be 4-2. And as I said, I think even if they lose to John Epping tomorrow afternoon, and I think they'll win, and I think this crowd tomorrow will be jacked for that game, especially if Jacobs were to lose tonight. And I don't know who Jacobs is playing tonight. I haven't got it in front of me. But Steve Laycock could finish 5-2. And if he finishes 5-2, he's going to be looking good as they move into that final eight, because those records stay with you now. You don't go
start
to 0-0. Yeah, so he'll end up playing Gushue, McEwen, and
Carruthers?
No, because Carruthers is in his. I'd have to take a look and see who's in that other group, but he'll play those four teams.
Thank God I got you to
figure
this out.
Remember when it was so simple, when you just had one,
you played your round robin,
you
one through four, two through three?
At the end,
and
the top four teams were in?
And it's funny because, and we'll hear it in the curling report today, Brad Gushue has said, it's almost like two different events.
It is.
Because, like, you never see.
The World Juniors are like that.
Yes, it is, but like, the fans that are coming here, they see Pool A one draw, Pool B the next. Pool A one draw, Pool B the next. So you know that Laycock's playing every second draw. And if you're coming here to see Laycock, you're not going to see Gushue. If you're coming here to see Gushue, you're not going to see Laycock and Jacobs and those guys. So, you know, not until Thursday when you get down to your best eight.
But if you're coming to Regina, or if you live here, you're buying a day pass. I would think you'd plan ahead for
Well, some people are just buying evening passes, and some people are just, you know, because they do want to see Team Saskatchewan or whatever. But it just, again, it's odd with this 16-team format.
It's fumbly. It's
yeah,
awkward.
It is. It is. It's a great word. It's awkward. And I realize they're just starting it, but they've got to tweak this somehow.
It's like a brown pair of shoes with a black tuxedo.
Exactly. And when's the last time you wore one of those?
Me, never, but I've seen people wear it in this town. Anyways.
But that's the buzz. And tonight, I think this building, people will come in here tonight realizing that Saskatchewan is going to win. But as I said, tomorrow afternoon, when Laycock is playing John Epping, I think that place will be alive tomorrow. And we could be on the air and hear the crowd roaring through if something big happens.
Just trying to tell our listeners, the province, that Saskatchewan is on a three-game winning streak here at the Brier. It's the dream scenario, I would think, for the host committee. Now, before we talk about what else is going on in the city this weekend, I just want to say this, how much I enjoy this province and, you know, the host committee, for instance. I walk in here the other day. There's a guy by the name of Doug. Told you about him the other day. He's driving Duke.
Yep.
He's driving the dignitaries around. So I stop and I talk to him. And I said, who are you driving? He says, I'm driving the curlers, I'm driving the scorers, the off-ice officials, all of that. And I said, and he goes, and the media. I said, you're driving the media? He goes, well, if they need a ride, we'll give them a ride. And I said, well, that's funny because at Grey Cups that we've been to, Vancouver,
you almost have to mug somebody.
Yeah, you got to mug somebody. Edmonton, it's like, hey, can I get a ride? You walk up to one of those shuttles, they're like, let me see your pass. Oh, you don't have the proper pass. You're walking, buddy.
We did get in one.
Really?
We did get in one once, but it took, I think it was you, was doing some major
sweet talking. That's the thing. So I said to Doug, well, at the Grey Cups, they don't do that. Like, you have to have the proper pass. You don't get a ride. And he goes, here's the Saskatchewan guy. He says, if I'm not driving anybody, I'll take you. Why wouldn't I? But that is
Vancouver.
Not the mentality across the country at these national sporting events. So that, I guess that's why when Saskatchewan puts its name forward to bid to host these things, that's why we usually win them. Because
and the attendance.
I remember the year that the Grey Cup was in Montreal, the year that Dressler won Rookie of the Year, and they had the awards ceremony at the casino. And we had a media bus that took us out to the casino, but there was no media bus coming back.
Oh, nice.
So
that's
we had to take cabs. We're like, how do we get back? It's just like, well, I guess we're taking cabs. So we ended up taking a cab back or whatever. But, yeah, it was just like, why? If you're going to have a media bus take you out there, wouldn't you have a media bus
you
back?
Coming home here Saturday night from the Rush game, got into town around midnight, drove through the Brand Center parking lot to drop off this gal that was with us. Her car was parked in Mosaic, and there were five guys standing out here after the patch looking for a ride. And I'm like, you poor buggers. Been there.
Done that.
Done that. Doesn't feel good. And it was only about minus five. And I said to Mrs. Sports Cage, you know, we could stop. She's like, we don't have room for five guys. And I'm like, that is the one thing that we're lacking in this town, would you not say?
Well,
transportation.
Uber coming? Is that the?
That's another great question. By the way, Gee writes in, Prairie Mobile text line. He says, afternoon, gents. Great show as always. Not a curling fan, but I respect the passion. Am I the only one embarrassed that so many visitors are in town and this city plows streets as quickly as a Siberian ghost town? Epic fail by the city, in my opinion. We need football news. Cheers, Gee.
Well, Gee.
We could spend an hour on that text. I'm saying the city's doing a great job. I've been in this arena a lot the last couple of days. I haven't heard any visitors from out of town talking about shoddy snow clearing. I have not heard that from anybody.
That's because they've got somebody driving them around.
Whatever it is they've got here. Football news. There is none. So go for a walk, okay? You got to just back off a little bit and chill.
All planes landed safely today.
Yeah, like, come on. Come on. Come on. I know I'm the 365 guy, but when there's national events in your town, come on, man. Cool it. Secondly,
no Daron Carter here.
National basketball championships this week in the city, guys. You're both all over that.
Yeah,
some of my favorite events.
It's one of my favorite events.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun over there.
This is the third time in the last 10 years, I guess.
And you heard me talking to Dave Taylor today.
He's the coach of the Cougars. For those that don't know,
yeah. And
have they seeded him yet?
Yeah, they have. They're going to play Laval in the first round. Okay. They will play Laval Thursday night, 6 o'clock. Right after that game, for those that are in the Saskatoon area that might be wanting to come down, the Huskies will play Acadia in the 3-6 game. The Huskies are ranked 6th. I haven't taken a look to see if we could have a Regina-Saskatchewan final. I don't think we can, but I think we could see Regina playing
Saskatchewan in a national semifinal game on Saturday night, and that would be a lot of fun. We know what it was like here last Friday night for the Canada West Conference Championship. Now you add a little bit more spice on the plate for that game winner going to the national final, and that would be a great contest.
It was funny. I was over there last week talking to some of the kids, and Michaela Kleinsinger says, "Oh, man, I hope we're up by 20 in the fourth quarter so I can, we're putting a little video together, some interviews, so I can watch this on the big screen." And so as I was watching Saturday night from my, or Friday night from my hotel room, score kept creeping up and creeping up, and I couldn't help but think that, and finally they got to the 20-point mark, and I thought to myself, geez, I wonder if she's watching the big screen.
She wasn't. I was watching. Dave Taylor had them dialed in.
I'd like to know if Michaela Kleisinger has given up the conference banner yet, because she had that wrapped around her on Friday night, and she was not removing that banner.
Scruffy talked to Dave Taylor today. We're going to hear from the coach of the Cougars on tomorrow's program. So I was at the sold-out White House on Friday, which, by
you
the way,
that.
Not, as much, not saw, as much as Dick loves it.
Yeah, I saw Dick, I saw Dick Friday night, and he loves it.
Of course, the White House.
I think it's great.
I said he's going to make. He said he's going to make university sports great again.
From what I can tell, the people at the U of R love it too. Until this gets a national sponsor, the gym at the U of R, the world-class gym, will be by us called the White House.
We got to give that to Arash when he's here, since he's going to be.
He'd love it. He loves Dick.
I know.
He loves Dick.
Who doesn't?
Anyways, I thought, because I was at the conference final championship game Friday night, that should the Cougars win, they'd cut the nets down. And I was sitting with Murray Bielik, one of the Cougars' dads, and he goes, "No, there's no way. There's no way." I'm like, "This is a conference championship." Of course, they didn't cut the nets down.
No.
They won. It's only their third in school history,
when
right?
When you win the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference in the NHL, you don't touch the trophy. You win Canada West, you don't cut down the nets. Although Dave said, because you and I were in
but
the newsroom when I was talking
thing.
To Dave.
It's a basketball thing.
He said that, we decided that we weren't going to cut down the nets because it was just the conference title, and that's not the one that we're actively seeking. But then he says he's watching film, and he's watching, I think it was Carleton win the Ontario, and they cut down the nets. So, to each their own.
I like it.
I mean, think they should have done it.
When you win your regional, to go to the Final Four, they always bring the ladder out.
Hello. Why do I have to do the thinking for everybody again?
Harold Reimer probably sent out a memo saying no scissors to the girls' basketball.
That was actually a comment. Do we have enough backup nets?
Yeah.
And we are hosting the Nationals here this week. But here's the difference, the really big difference between that event and this curling event and actually the national women's basketball events and many. It's one and done. It's not hard to follow that event once it starts Thursday. You lose, you have no chance of winning the championship.
There are eight teams coming to town. Whatever team wins three games, they're going home with the bronze, baby.
That's exciting.
As simple as that.
Which has always struck me as such an odd name for the trophy, because
there's an actual name for it, but it's just called
the bronze baby trophy.
Yeah, but I think it's the Nan Kopp trophy, isn't it?
The gold medal of the sport, it's first place.
Well, but that's the cool thing about it. It's like March Madness. It's the same idea. I don't know which came first, but when you go into a tournament, when you were a kid or with your kids, if you lose a game early, you'd like to be able to rally and win.
Yeah.
You can't in this event, the National Women's Basketball, and it's the same for the men. That's not hard to follow. Again, but the problem is, as the host team, should the Cougars lose Thursday, which we don't expect they will, but they could, the air kind of goes out of
I've been to the events where they were seeded number one
and lost
to the eight seed. I mean, all eight teams here are very capable teams.
And the team that they're going to play on Thursday, Lavelle, they're coming in as the wild card team. They were the national runner-up last year and bring back three players from that team who were very good. So even though they're the wild card team, they're going to be a very tough opponent for the Cougars to get by. And if they win this game by 10 or more, it'll just show you that how much the Cougars are dialed in to this event.
We need to take a timeout. We're broadcasting live from the Brier Tuesday at the Canadian National Men's Curling Championship, and we're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries. By the way, coming up right here at the Brand Center, Sportsnet's Arash Madani will be joining us for hour two and three of the program. He's in town to broadcast the National Championships on Sportsnet. This is Rider Radio 620 CKRM. RMP, SportsCade Sports Ticker live from the Tim Hortons Briar. The injury-depleted Montreal Canadiens are on the road against the New Jersey Devils as part of tonight's NHL play. The Habs announced yesterday that Captain Max Pacioretty and defenseman Victor Matey are likely done for the season with injuries sustained in a win over the Islanders on Friday. Also tonight, the Nashville Predators try for a ninth straight win when they host Dallas. The Toronto Raptors try for a fifth straight win tonight when they welcome the Atlanta Hawks to Air Canada Center. The Raptors lead the idle Boston Celtics by 1.5 games in the NBA's Eastern Conference standings. The Hawks sit last in the East, but are coming off a 113-112 win over the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. That is the RMP. SportsCade Sports Ticker. Get the best deals on wheels with no car crap BS at Regina Motor Products, reginamotorproducts.com. Scruffy and Duke with me here on the West End Concourse at the Brand Center. The big news here, Stephen Laycock, Team Saskatchewan, Molly Whopping, Northern Ontario, 8-4 this morning. He's now 3-2 and goes up against none of it tonight. He says he's having none of it.
I was waiting for that.
What's the over-under in that game tonight as far as the margin of victory?
14-4. 14-4 for Saskatchewan.
Yeah, 6.5 might be generous, or not generous enough.
Have I been missing something? Haven't heard anything about the Blue Jays the last couple of days. Nobody's got hurt the last couple of days with the Blue Jays, I guess.
Oh.
Well,
you know I have no desire to follow the Toronto Blue Jays.
But you just wait for anything to happen out there.
Is Marcus Stroman bitching about baseballs yet? Is that why his shoulder's sore?
Troy Tulowitzki
missing games. Does Jose Bautista have a job yet?
Well, I saw Tulowitzki's not going to be ready for...
No.
Well, there's a shock.
Stroman probably won't be ready.
It's 20
people still think they're going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win 75 games.
Well, when Arash Madani joins us here next hour, we can go through a lot with him, not to mention a Pyeongchang recap. What a world for Arash Madani, by the way. From Pyeongchang, South Korea, to Regina, Saskatchewan.
The guy's MacGyver.
In 10 days.
It's like Ben Hebert the other day.
Same thing. That's a good point. In a shorter amount of time.
Yes.
But I don't know. For one, when you're in the middle of a national championship like this, three draws a day, it's hard to believe there's anything going on outside it. I mean, that's the truth. And I'll say it again, I am a total fish out of water at this thing. When you consider this, and when you're used to working with the Riders, it's one game a week, not three per day.
Well, this is
for 10 days.
This is a marathon.
It's a lot
to cover. Yep.
Total marathon.
It is. It's, I mean, and it's one thing to cover it at your home base. But on the road, it's a marathon. Like, it's a long, long go.
Curling in it would be even worse.
Well, you probably go to bed at a proper time if you're curling.
Braden Muskowy did nothing to dispel the stereotype that curlers love to drink beer. You were sitting with him here the other day. Weren't you here when he was on with us?
No, I wasn't.
I said, where are you going after this, Braden, after you just won with Team Manitoba? I'm going to the patch, have a couple of beer. Okay.
Sit it down, talk.
At least he's honest.
I think
he didn't have to curl last night.
I know athletes that will not consume alcohol for the entirety of the season, from the drop of the puck in the first game to the gun sounds at the end of the last game. That's not curlers.
It's part of the allure, too, of curling is that after the games, you can go have a beer with them.
Much like a golfer after the 19th hole.
Yeah, but, I mean, even like you go to the PGA, you're not having a beer with Tiger or Bubba.
Well, you know what? Aren't you? Because you don't get into that area. And I've heard many a times where guys have said, you know what? I sit there and we have a couple after
a
round.
You're not getting in as a fan.
Well, no, you're not.
But
here you can.
Here you go to the patch. Yep. You see the guys. You see. I mean, I remember doing the Worlds. Jeff Stoughton was Canada's representative. We pulled him from in the patch. We were doing our show live from in there. He's having a beef on a bun. We said, hey, you want to come on and join us? Yeah, just let me finish this up.
Yep.
Finish up his beef on a bun, wiped his mouth, sits down.
Yesterday.
You know, so they're great guys.
And they're accessible. It's part of the deal.
Yesterday, or Sunday, excuse me, I was walking from the Briar Patch back towards the arena, and who comes walking by me? Brad Gushue. Just walking by himself.
Did he say, hey, Scruffy?
No, he didn't. Not that time, but he didn't know who I was. And, you know, somebody stopped him because they wanted to get a picture with him.
A pin?
He stopped, got the picture with him, and then somebody else, sort of a crowd, started to form. And Brad said, hey, listen, I'm doing the autograph signing outside the Briar Patch. I got to get over there. These people didn't know that this was going on, so they followed Brad down to the Briar Patch, and the lineup was incredible.
It's also not abnormal to see CFL players at events at Grey Cup.
Right.
Either.
Again, part of the allure of the league.
Exactly.
Because of the guys are accessible. I mean, that's why do you think Rider Nation is part of the reason it's so popular? The guys stop and sign autographs after every single practice. I mean, the one guy is there every day getting crap signed.
Same guy.
And they still stop and sign for him. It's part of the accessibility that makes, you know, makes the fan really feel connected.
And that's the one thing from the old Mosaic to the new Mosaic. And, Roddy, you know what I'm talking about. So a lot of people here. Practice would end, and there'd be a lot of people waiting for riders to sign stuff. Here, in the new stadium, you're not seeing that anymore because you don't get the access to them.
There are a few.
There are a few.
Not as easy.
No, and it's not happening every day like it used to.
No. But I'll tell you this. Can I just start the ball rolling for a new arena? And God knows I love this place. I've watched more games in this facility than any facility in the world. It's not wheelchair accessible that I know of. There's a reporter here, I won't name him, longtime curling beat that is on a scooter. And I don't know how he's getting up and down the stairs. Unless he's getting down these back ramps where the semis come in for concerts. No elevator? Is the Brand Center antiquated, out of date?
How's he getting down?
Don't know.
Because I haven't seen him in the upper level.
When I see
him
next time,
down into the media room?
When I see him next time, I'll ask him. And some of the reporters told me today, he gets here, he goes to the media room, and he stays there all day.
Yeah.
Watches the curling on the television.
And then comes over and
does
the interviews. Yep.
So not accessible.
Regina's going to get a new rink before Calgary?
I will bet you that right now. Absolutely.
Whoa, he's out of his chair.
You want to know that one?
I'm with you on that. And again, like I said.
You got excited there.
If the IOC says Stockholm's the 2026 Olympic host, Calgary's not getting their stadium.
Ours might be NHL caliber 2 in size.
Oh, boy.
They will be so bent out of shape.
So Regina will be in line for an NHL team before Saskatoon?
I'll tell you why I think that next hour. And Arash Madani will be here as well. We're live from the Tim Hortons Briar, brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries on 620 CKRM. Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Sports Cage. Welcome to the Brand Center. That's where we are live on day 4 of the Tim Hortons Briar. Brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries. All guests appearing on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. And we're between draws. The Brand Center emptying it out from the afternoon draw. Going to fill up tonight as Saskatchewan Stephen Laycock goes after his fourth consecutive victory against none of it. Scruffy's here. Duke is here, the Duke of Mydale, Derek Myers, and we are awaiting the arrival of Sportsnet's Arash Madani, who's going to join us live at the Brand Center. He's in town for the Canadian National Women's Basketball Championships, and he'll be joining us here for the balance of Hour 2 and 3. Mitchell, you can just read this. Hang on. No, don't. Hang on. We'll continue on through here. People are fired up. They're fired up here at the Brand Center. Not just because Saskatchewan Stephen Laycock has a chance to win 4 in a row, but this lady just stopped here. And she didn't ask for pins, which is amazing.
Yes,
she's the first lady to stop at our broadcast location and not ask for pins. She went off on Curling Canada.
She did.
Do you want to relay that?
Unsolicited.
Well, unsolicited, by the way.
She said that she had heard the show yesterday, and you know, you guys were talking about how the UConn and these are embarrassing themselves. And she said that's not the case. She goes, it's Curling Canada that has set them up for this, which is what we were saying today. And I think we were saying it yesterday as well. You know, they don't put the resources into these teams to curl in Grand Slam events or curl in spiels.
Just go back up and just imagine that somebody had just landed from Mars and you're trying to explain to them what she's bringing
well,
up. Because a lot of people don't understand
this.
Yeah,
but they should have been listening to the whole show.
Yeah, but if they didn't, tell them.
Well,
they don't
basically,
know.
The Yukon, the territories, and the Nunavut are basically free spots on the bingo card here.
They're getting killed.
And there are a lot of people wondering why they have to be included in this event. The CCA, Curling Canada.
Same thing.
Wanted a 16-team event. So it includes everybody, and
very inclusive.
A couple of those teams aren't doing very well, and it's got some people upset, and for good reason. And Curling Canada, as this woman said, isn't helping out by giving these rinks the resources to curl and get experience, except for at events like this where they get it handed to them seven times and it's thanks, see you later. Welcome
so did the Cleveland Browns, by the way. So should they just fold up the tents and say we're not going to compete anymore because we can't win? I'm not sure.
Well, maybe they should.
I'm just saying I'm not sure I totally go along with this. They're trying to grow the game, expand the field of teams. Maybe we should get somebody on from Curling Canada to say this is why we do it, and daggummit, we're going to stick by it. Derek, you agree with Scruffy and the lady that just stopped here, though, right?
I mean, yeah, that's fairly accurate, and I don't think it grows the game to have teams come in. I mean, how's it growing the game? Jamie Cooey has represented the Northwest Territories and his sister at the Scotties almost every year. So where are all these new teams that, you know, that are, this is continually growing the game? Yeah. I don't see any new fresh blood up there. Northern Ontario, you know, it's always McCarville, it's always Jacobs. How many teams actually come to the Northern Ontario?
I think it was Tracy Fleury for the last 2 years.
Was it three? She was wild card.
No, Carrie Anderson was the wild card.
Oh, Carrie Anderson was. But anyways, there's like three teams compete at the Northern Ontario Scotties. Yep. Like how is that fair to Alberta?
Kazakhstan
same
and Belarus
same
have
thing?
Had teams at the World Juniors. They haven't quit.
Yeah, but what happens there?
Couldn't even bring
what
out
happens
sticks?
There? The bottom two ranks
get relegated.
They play to get relegated. What happens here? Welcome.
We just open our doors. It's Canada.
Why would you have the last two teams?
Very Canadian.
They used to have that.
Yeah, I know.
By the way,
and Saskatchewan would have been punished for that a year ago.
Yes, they would have been.
Prairie
yes, they been.
Mobile text line from Pinsville.
Pinsville.
Says, Rod, I would appreciate a pin.
I knew that was coming.
Is this becoming a thing?
I knew that was coming.
I don't have pins. And I pleaded to our bosses, who clearly aren't listening, to tell me where the pins are.
You got this new wet bar, though.
Kayla, if you're listening, please come down to the Brandt Center with pins for Rod.
We're under fire. And they wanted squishy curling rocks, too. I don't have those.
That's new.
The squishy curling rocks are okay. I've got one of those sitting on my desk at work.
Did you get it from here?
No, Kayla gave it to me before the Breyer started.
Oh!
I don't know. I just dropped it down on my desk one day.
I feel like a real donkey with everybody asking me for pins and curling rocks, and I'm empty-handed. I don't know. I'm just here to do a radio show, not working a trade show. Anyway,
welcome to my life at the Scotties a couple of years ago.
Why does this not happen when we do at Pat's games?
Agribition.
We don't broadcast live from Agribition.
Oh, we let Smalley do that.
I wish we did broadcast live from Agribition. That would be fun.
Why not?
Anyways.
You do from the fair.
Because usually we're a Grey Cup or whatever's going on. To the arena thing?
Yes.
As I said just before the end of hour one. By the way, if you missed any of the program, it's all going to be in our podcast. I don't know why you would miss any of it. I'm with you, Scruffy. But our full podcast can be found at sportscage.ca or iTunes, brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse, with amazing specials on food and ice-cold beer. There's no better place to watch hockey, or dare I say, curling. But anyways, there's a long-time Hall of Fame curling writer, by the way. He's not in the Curling Hall of Fame. He's in a few other Hall of Fames. That is now on a motorized scooter, and stairs are a problem for him. This is not a wheelchair-accessible facility for the most part. I mean, you can come in and go to a game, right?
Yes.
No problems there. But in terms of getting up and down the levels and everything. So the reason I bring up the new arena, and this is just me spitballing, whatever. Nobody's putting me up to this. There are some factions in this town that would love to see a National Lacrosse League team here. You know that.
Yes,
Mitch.
I do.
And as I've gotten closer and closer to the Saskatchewan Rush and the wonderful family that owns and operates them, the Urban family, Bruce, the owner, just happens to be on the expansion committee of the NLL, you have to have a 14,000-seat minimum arena to get an expansion team in the National Lacrosse League. So, if you were to build a new arena in Regina, it would and you want a lacrosse team to play in there along with whatever team you might have, it would have to be 14,000 seats. So as we were sitting spitballing about it, well, if you're going to go to 14,000, you might as well go to 15,000 and not cut yourself off in the event that the NHL might come to Regina. And that we all think that that'll never happen.
And to build a new stadium, you may as well put a roof on it.
But to quote Gary Echeverry, never's a long time.
So
never say never.
When they built Mosaic Stadium, and people at first were thinking a 45, a 50,000 seat stadium.
Ridiculous.
Said, no, 33,000, that's going to work, that's what we need. Roddy, can Regina really fill a 14,000 seat building?
For what?
For events.
Saskatoon's doing it.
For one team. They sure are doing it for the Blades.
They're doing it.
For, like, is every concert, is every event getting 14,000 people? Like, I just wonder if...
I didn't say I was in favor of it.
I know what I'm
just
saying, and that's what, you know, obviously if you want an NLL team, and is there that desire by whoever? And let's just say it's the Pats ownership group, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't. But...
doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. You're right. But what I'm saying is that their end goal to get an NLL team here? Or to get an NHL team here? Because if it is, then no. You're going to have a big building. But can Regina have and adequately fill a 14,000-seat building? I think a 10,000-seat building,
Mitch,
would be fine. But I know where you're coming from on this. But would it be too much, though?
Derek's mind's racing,
well,
I can tell.
I'm looking at it in this sense. Could Saskatoon work with a 30,000-person stadium? You know, we already have one in the province.
For what?
We already have.
We're not even talking about Saskatoon.
I know, but we have an arena in the province that seats 15,000.
Right.
It's not even so much, can Regina sustain it? Can the province? Do we need two 15,000-seat arenas in the province?
Okay, now we got it going. Wild Bill writes in and says, Rod, we should build a new stadium for hockey on the old Taylor Field site. What do you say?
I'd be all for that.
We now have another spot.
I'd be all for that. I think that would be great.
It's not just Dudney.
I think that would be tremendous.
Wow. So the point being, can you fill an event, their arena for events? Yes, because Saskatoon's doing it. You only got 9 NLL games. It's not that many. So you could do it. You don't got to fill it for the Pats.
But it's the one in the province. Could you fill two of them?
Sure.
I don't know.
Absolutely you can. It's 9 games both cities.
But you have to fill more than 9 dates to make the arena pay for itself. That's the thing.
Not necessarily.
Like, I know where you're coming on this.
Listen, Mosaic Stadium, this is what I love, this whole argument of, oh, you can have tractor pulls and you can have trade shows. Yeah, how many of those draw 30,000 people to a tractor pull or a trade show?
Well, you can't have an outdoor hockey
game. Mosaic Stadium was built for the Riders. Boom, end of story. Hello.
Yes.
But it's because it's the Riders. And nobody has a problem with it. So why do we got to fill this stadium if it's privately owned with enough events? That's the private owner's problem, not the city's.
You don't think there'd be public money going into that?
Yeah.
Well,
let's be real, Peter.
No.
What? There'd be public money going into that. You know,
not necessarily.
Come on.
Because I've heard the political football back and forth. I have just had casual talks with the mayor about it. His status, predictably, has flip-flopped. I've heard both sides from him. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's totally out of question. I don't.
I don't see it happening. I'd like to see it if it did.
It'd be great.
It would be great. It'd be fantastic for Regina and Southern Saskatchewan. But I just don't see it realistically happening in the next 10 to 15
years.
Last
I heard, the city, i.e. the city of Regina, is not in favor of it because they don't want this arena sitting empty. Like, what are they going to do with it? You know, but...
And again, if it was like a 9, 10,000 seat arena, I could see it. I just can't see a 14,000 seat arena. And if they do, well, let's see what you can do with it then.
I'm cautiously pessimistic.
In true Saskatchewan fashion, Arash Madani is on his way here.
Yep.
And guess who's driving him?
Larry Mueller.
You'll never... Close! So close!
Ooh.
Who's the driver guy
that you're talking about? Edmund Bankowski.
I was going to say, it's somebody connected with the Rams. Now just who is it?
Yeah!
I was just...
My first ever stats man on Regina Rams football broadcast in 1991. Starting to sound like Lynch.
I was just going to say, if it was Chop, we'd probably find a rash over at the brew house right now.
What school are you guys from? What'd they say?
Greenall.
Greenall? Oh, Bruno. Bruno, Saskatchewan's in the house. How about a cheer for everybody? Look at that. You want to sing O Canada or something? Okay.
They changed the words on them.
They changed the words. They keep changing them. Here we go. It's okay. It's okay. Let's let it go. Yeah, let it rip.
Yeah, there it is.
Dun da dun.
Finish it strong.
Everybody, nice work. Why does this feel like Grey Cup now?
Need the pep band.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say, where's the pep band?
All we need is
they were here the other night.
All we need is Bob Mossing. Okay, we need to take a timeout. It's completely going off the rails at the Tim Hortons Briar. Oh, boxing tickets. Thank you, Nevin. Nevin, back flying the ship, tells us we need to give away a pair of tickets to the Lonsdale Boxing Club Battle on the Prairies 14. Team Western Canada versus the Ireland Selects at the Kinexus Arts Center. First caller through in town, 936-6262. You're going to the Lonsdale Boxing Club's Battle of the Prairies on us, the Sports Cage. We'll be back to the Brand Center after this timeout on 620 CKRM. Sports Cage continues live from the Tim Hortons Briar. Bruno, Saskatchewan School, they're out of here.
How Saskatchewan was that?
I actually have a text message from Frank in Regina on that. He says, damn, I love Saskatchewan. That was a true Saskatchewan moment right there. Great kids singing the Canadian National Anthem. And by the way, the old version. Did you notice?
Yeah.
I was paying attention.
Yes. I couldn't figure it out. They were sort of all lined up along the wall here. And it's like, we were just sort of like, they were watching us. It's like, is there something, like, are they supposed to? And all of a sudden, it was just like, you gave them the cue, and away they went.
I didn't line it up, Scruffy, just so you know.
I know.
I didn't know they were coming by. Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. The Toronto Raptors are on a roll heading into their home game against Atlanta tonight. They've won four in a row and are looking to restore their two-game lead over the Boston Celtics for first place in the Atlantic Division and the Eastern Conference. The game's on TSN. Tonight, Taylor Hall and the New Jersey Devils will face off against Connor McDavid and the Oilers to open the regular season in Gothenburg, Sweden on October 6th as part of the NHL's Global Series. In the second year of regular games in Europe, the Florida Panthers and Winnipeg Jets will also play November 1st and 2nd in Helsinki. The NHL and NHL Players Association announced the games and two exhibitions this morning.
I thought they were going
to
Germany.
Guess not.
I guess not, because they were talking about Dreisaitl.
What was that?
Yeah, they were talking about playing these games in Germany.
What did they say?
Well,
Sweden and Finland. Yeah.
Well, Canadian.
Well, the Finland one makes sense with Line A and the Jets.
That's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Head to Boston Pizza for Rib-rageous all month long. A full rack of slow roasted ribs and two delicious sides. Only $17.95. Boston Pizza, gather round.
I think the Devils are doing their training camp in Switzerland as well because of Nico Hischier.
You were gone yesterday, but there was a couple guys stopped by here from Milestone yesterday.
So your hometown?
Yeah.
Family reunion?
Stood over here and watched.
Yeah.
And I was talking about the NHL wanting to have an outdoor game here. And they're saying, oh, it would be huge. It would go over great. They're giving me the thumbs up. And I said, really? Get back to me when you buy tickets.
Yeah.
Let's see. Because I don't think it would go over that great. As much as we love it. It's a cheap town. Can we agree on that?
Yes. Tickets for the game Saturday night, because I was wondering about that.
In Annapolis?
The game Saturday night in Annapolis, same sort of type venue as Mosaic Stadium, 35,000 seats. Cheapest seat, $115. Most expensive seat, $475, and that's American. And, oh, by the way, it was sold out.
And none of those seats were any good.
Yeah.
Now, That is no way to watch hockey. You've been to an outdoor game.
Yep.
The best seat is still awful. You're still a mile away from the rink.
But they loved every second.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to do a Twitter poll right
and
now.
And I think...
You guys keep talking
I believe the temperature at game time was plus two.
Oh,
and
really?
Got down to minus four as the night went on. And then NBC, with 5.5 minutes left, said, this has been fun. It's been great. If you want to see the end of it, we're going to go to NBCSN because Saturday Night Live is coming on.
Heidi.
And you could hear
Alex Baldwin.
You could hear the disgust in Mike Emmerich's voice as he announced to the people,
Dave Hodge,
that this game was going to NBCSN. In fact, Mike Emmerich just sort of basically said, because of Saturday Night Live or whatever, this and that, you can watch the rest of this game. Tune over to NBCSN. And then Mike Emmerich shut up for about 15 seconds as the play was going on.
The doc.
And Saturday Night Live came on. And I don't know if that was Mike just sort of saying, screw you, or if that was maybe the director saying, like, don't talk during the...
There's probably a good chance of the latter. Was it Heidi? Is that what?
Yes. From the Jets and the Raiders?
No. Yep. Well, not that one. The CBC one that cost Dave Hodge's job.
No, that was the National News, I think.
No, it was...
You guys are talking about something from 40
Remember
years
ago. Remember when Dave Hodge flipped the pen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was 40 years ago. At least 35.
But NBC got in trouble, though, because there was a game between the Jets and the Raiders. I forget who was in the lead, but they said, this game is over. We're going to send you to the NBC Sunday night movie, which was Heidi. And then the other team came back and scored like 19 points.
Yes,
in about
nobody
2 minutes,
saw it.
And nobody saw it. Oops.
Oh, yeah, that was the end of Dave Hodge.
On CBC? It
on
was
CBC.
Hockey
Night. Oh, yeah. On CBC, yeah. Yeah. So I put a poll up on my Twitter feed.
Those old blue blazers.
Guys.
Love those.
At Rod Peterson. If you don't give me a follow, or if you don't follow me, please do. How
there's somebody out there who's not?
How would an NHL outdoor game go over in Regina? A, a raging success, or B, a miserable flop? So far, since I've done it, look at the votes already, since I put it up, 86% are saying a miserable flop.
Is really? Brendan McGuire the only one that said it'd be a raging success?
Brendan McGuire?
Yeah.
The only guy that wouldn't be buying tickets, right?
Well, he's all for it. He says, I've been calling for this. Yeah, it'd be a failure. Buy your tickets and sit there and buy yourself.
He probably would buy tickets.
Oh, sure he would.
I am anti-outdoor hockey games.
Uh-oh.
I've never been to one. I don't want to go to one. When the Pats announced theirs, I'm like, I'll put on a smile and support it. I don't like outdoor hockey. Why would I?
It's a unique event. It is.
Whatever.
I've been to one. That's enough.
Call me crazy. I go to an event and like to watch the game. You can't see it.
Well, no, it's...
There's a big screen up by the one scoreboard. You can watch it.
I'll stay
there.
Home.
Well, that's what people are saying nowadays.
Well, that too.
But it didn't stop 35,000 people from paying between $115 and $475 to watch the Leafs and Capitals Saturday night.
From a guy by the name of Millicent Bystander. says tens of people would attend. Thousands would bitch about parking. The rest of Saskatchewan would go on radio talk shows to blame the other political party for the game's failure. It's getting some traction.
That's accurate.
67, it's starting to even out now. The latest in the second reporting poll, 67% say a miserable flop, 33% say a raging success.
Can the sports cage desk now accurately have a, you know.
No. Can you call it?
Can we call it? Can
no,
we call
it? Gonna, yet? No, this okay. is going to go till after you guys go to bed.
All right.
Just like those that went to bed in Florida thinking Hillary Clinton was their next president, only to wake up and find out it was Donald Trump.
I went to the headstones thinking Al Gore was president in 2000. Came home.
Our Twitter
Florida
feed.
Was colored red.
Our Twitter feed, by the way, is brought to you by Miller High Life, the champagne of beers, now available in Saskatchewan for the first time. Please enjoy responsibly. We will take a timeout. Scruffy, you're going to adjourn?
I'm going to adjourn because as I speak, I'm going to adjourn because my daddy is in the building, so I'm going to adjourn. I'll see you tomorrow because this seat is about to be taken by someone who's much more qualified.
A very tanned Sportsnet Arash Madani has just showed up. We are live from the Tim Hortons Briar, brought to you by Sask Lotteries on 620 CKRM. Sports Cage continues live from the Brandt Center. Day three of the Brier is over. I guess we're halfway through day four, right, Duke?
Or five? I don't know. It started on Friday, kind of.
Nobody goes by the day.
Wild card.
At the Tim Hortons Brier. But if you just joined us, here's the deal. Saskatchewan Stephen Laycock is on a three-game winning streak. And tonight they're home to Nunavut, going for their fourth consecutive victory. Derek Myers and... they're saying it's a gimme. What's the over-under on that?
Wow.
What's the point spread?
Spread? 6.5, probably.
Six and a half points. That's the deal.
Wow.
So we've talked curling to this point.
You, me, Madani, and Scruffy have a bonus.
Yeah.
Good a rooting chance.
Against Saskatchewan are playing for none of it. But Arash Madani is here. A distinct pleasure. Welcome to the Queen City Sportsnet's Arash Madani.
Look great to be here, boys. I'm pumped.
Tell our listeners why you're here first.
Well, I know the Brier is going on. Everyone's excited about that. But the U Sports Women's Basketball Championships go down this weekend at the University of Regina, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we will have both national semifinals and the national championship game on Saturday and Sunday. And you guys know me. Like, when it comes to the calendar every year, one of the first things I look at, when is that bowl game, the UTEC Bowl? Because I get to do that for university football. And when is this weekend? These are two of my favorite weeks of the year.
No Bishops here?
No Bishops here. Two Quebec teams, McGill and Laval. They played for the national championship last year. The Mighty Gators. the Mighty Gators just, we're having a hard time getting off the mat.
That's Sir Rash's alma mater, by the way. Right? There's a lot of towns that lay claim to you. Truro, obviously,
yeah,
your
Truro's
hometown.
My hometown.
Spent some great time in Ottawa.
Yes.
Went to school at Bishops.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a Toronto lad now, but you're never there.
I'm never there. A buddy of mine has moved to Toronto for a job January 15th, and he has stayed at my place more in the next 7-8 weeks than I will. So he was there all of February when I was in Pyeongchang, and
you're happy to have him there, probably.
Yeah, and from here I go to Dunedin for spring training. So,
nice.
Boom,
so
boom.
I'd say he's keeping the plant alive, but I don't even have a plant to keep alive.
I have a where the heck did it go? Somebody had a question for you, Arash, and I wanted to get it out of the way, and somehow it's disappeared on the Prairie Mobile text line. Just off the top of my head, I think the question was, how did the South Koreans, and of course were paired with North Korea for these Olympics,
yes,
feel about their own performance as the host country for the Olympics?
Well, I tell you what, and it's funny because we're here at the Brier, the story for South Korea, their big sport is short track speed skating. That's what they're expected to do. But there was a foursome that were nicknamed the Garlic Girls, and South Korea's women's curling team became a national sensation the last week of the Olympics. And the Garlic Girls is because in their area of the country, they farm for garlic.
Wow.
And so that turned into a thing, and people just couldn't get enough of it. I'm pretty sure I saw the photo. The front page story the day of the closing ceremony was the South Korean curling team, and they were going for gold, I believe, against Japan. They didn't get it done. This is not the medium to show it, but I will show Derek and Rod. That is the front page of the Sunday newspaper in Pyeongchang. Women's curling.
And she's yelling, hurry hard, or something in Korean.
I don't know how to yell hurry hard in Korean.
Wow.
But there it is.
That's amazing.
And it became, as a domestic story, it became the story for the Koreans at those Olympics.
So just based on that one sport, they felt they were a success? Or just overall for a country, how did they feel?
I mean, overall. I mean, their short track team delivered as they were supposed to. I mean, it's so, you know, we're so North American-centric, but short track speed skating is the sport in South Korea. It's the winter sport.
Really?
So, you know, Canada's had some short track success over the years, but yeah.
Seemed like you were surprised at how cold it was there. I mean, we all watched a lot of the cover. Were you? Or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was freezing.
Yeah, minus 20? Did it get that far?
It definitely got that far, especially up on the mountain.
And some of that wind. Like, it got nasty
wind. And the wind was vicious. What was wild, though, is Sochi was basically kind of a mild climate. and Vancouver is Vancouver. So those are the last two Winter Olympics you have to kind of go by. And it was cold. But I think I told you this, Roddy, last week. The takeaway I'll have from Pyeongchang 2018 is just how friendly the people were, how kind they were, how welcoming they were. And the last day we were there, taking the shuttle from the airport hotel to the airport, the driver, you know, in broken English and got the Google Translate out. And I just told him, I said, "You are the friendliest people I can imagine." He was so touched by it. So it meant a lot to them to welcome the world and deliver in front of the world, and they did.
They did. Cool. You jump in any time with a rush. I got a million things I could go through.
Well, I was just going to mention, we forgot to mention this when we were talking basketball. We have dubbed the gym the White House.
The White House.
After DW, Dick White.
He loves it.
You know, and until January...
Because it doesn't have a name.
Until January 20th of last year, that probably was the ultimate compliment.
Yeah, wow.
And I don't know if it is anymore.
We're trying... What did he say? He's going to make university sports great again.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a slight on the U.S. president, not Dick White.
Not Dick White.
That's what you're saying.
Not Dick White.
The White House. So if you can slip that in at all on the weekend...
Are we going to be arming the professors at the University of Regina?
Here we go.
There we go.
But by the way... The last time you were in Regina was when?
The last time I was in Regina may have been...
2013 Grey Cup?
Corey Sheets, running
wild. Wow, 197 yards.
Yeah.
Grey Cup record. The last
time... G-Roy Simon catching two touchdowns.
The uncovered G-Roy Simon.
The uncovered G-Roy Simon.
Corey Sheets, by the way, could lead the league in rushing in just five games, according to his Twitter.
That's what he says.
Recently.
With what Achilles?
He wants to come back. But the point is, when you get to the White House, have you been there before?
I have not.
Derek, you were there 4 years ago for the national championships. It's rocking. It's like
wait.
An NBA game. Mm. It's jammed. It was jammed Friday night. Did you see
the
film of that? Or
I did. I watched I watched it on demand. And on Thursday night, the Cougars will play Laval. Now, Laval is a wild card team, but they were the number one team in Quebec, just like they were last year. They came up short in the playoffs, but they're here. And Laval pulled off an upset last year, and I was talking to Dave Taylor, the Cougars coach, yesterday. I said, "What is it about you going up against Quebec teams in the first round of Nationals every year?" He's like, "Don't get me started." It is an unforgiving format, but I'm pumped for tomorrow night. I think the place will be rocking. It's going to mean a lot to the kids, and... This is as good a Regina team. This Regina team is as good as anyone in the tournament. Carleton's the one seed. They're probably better. But this Regina team is locked and loaded.
The those Giles girls.
They're great.
Like, you just, I wouldn't want to tangle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she
those are the two Winnipeg girls?
Yeah.
Out of, they really
rocked it
the other
night. Well, their sister was with, I want to say...
Ryerson. The older one.
Yeah.
Kanika Ping Giles.
And, I mean, the way they play the game exciting, never take their foot off the gas. Like, it's fun to watch.
So, Kiana, who is the star,
yep.
averages 17 points, 8 rebounds a night. In high school, they went 130-4. She does not like to lose. Lose is not in her DNA. It's not in her vocabulary.
She doesn't lose.
And the one thing that Dave said yesterday, he said the stage, the moment, isn't too big for her.
Never seems to bother her.
Right. And they're only in their second year.
I know.
They're sophomores, these twins. So yeah, the Cougars will lose Charlotte Cott, which is going to be a big one. She was the All-Canadian a couple of years ago. But these Giles sisters are going to be stars. Not in the Canada West... nationally for years to come.
Yeah, no, they're well set up.
How was the coach on the phone?
Awesome.
What's his confidence / nervousness level?
You know what? I sense no nerves. Here's the sense I got. He said they hadn't talked national championship all year. The goal at the start of the year was host the Canada West final and win the Canada West championship. Because Saskatchewan's nipping at their heels, right? And so the Cougars lost a game early in the year to University of Northern British Columbia on the road. They lost by 2. And right then, Dave thought, oh, man, we may have lost a chance to host Canada West final. But then Saskatchewan lost one, and Dave's team went, went 18-2. So they were able to host. They were able to win it. And now it's like, okay, let's go do it. I mean, to them, it seemed like it wasn't a three-game national championship tournament. It was four. And the first one they just got in the bag. So they have won the banner. Let's go get the next one.
Interesting, because I was at the game Friday. I'm talking to some of the Cougar parents saying, are they going to cut the nets down when we win tonight? And they're like, no, not this. But I guess Carleton did.
Carleton did.
So
on Saturday. Well, Carleton went into Hamilton. So Carleton hasn't lost a game all year. Carleton lost the first regular season game last year, then went 21-0 the rest of the regular season, lost in the national semifinal. The winner of Ontario West, which ended up being McMaster, was hosting the Ontario Championship regardless. So even though Carleton went 22-0 this year, they had to go on the road for the Ontario Championship. So they went into Mac and cut down the nets at Mac.
Whoa, on the road.
On the road. Now, if that was happening at
home, shots fired.
Right, I don't know if they would have chopped down that mesh. But, hey, we're on the road. McMaster's going to be at the Nationals. They're going to be our rivals. We're going to make sure we take a souvenir.
I guess we'll find out how that played. Or was it work or does it not work? Did you tick them off to the point they're going to kick your ass in Nationals?
If they end up playing one another.
If they do, yeah. But, I mean, the onus here was the job's not done. That was the theme.
Sure.
Which is cool, too.
And I want to make sure I word this properly. There have been national championship tournaments I've gone to before where you looked at some of the teams and you're like, okay, seeded teams 6, 7, and 8, they just don't belong here. This is going to be a 20, 30-point blowout. This, you know, it's
not here.
It's Duke versus Middle Tennessee A&M. But this year there are 7 very, very, very good teams, and Calgary's the 8 seed that if they weren't playing Carleton, they probably would match up really well against some other teams. So this is going to be a very competitive tournament. It's a wide-open tournament, and it comes down to who's going to play well for 3 days. Last year, McGill was not the 1 seed, and McGill, as the 4 seed, upset Carleton in the semifinal. They're going to win the national championship. They were a 9-7 team in the regular season. Who gets hot now? That's what's going to determine who's going to win that bronze.
You're excited.
Baby. I'm pumped.
I can tell.
I love it.
I like it. We got to take a timeout. Our listeners have some Blue Jays questions for you. Can you handle those?
Absolutely.
Sportsnet's Arash Madani with us live at the Tim Hortons Briar. We're on the West End Concourse in between draws. Tonight at 7 here, by the way, Saskatchewan Stephen Laycock goes for their 4th consecutive victory when they take on winless Nunavut. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries on 620 CKRM. MP Sports Cage Sports Ticker live from the Tim Hortons Briar. The Winnipeg Jets try for a 3rd win in a row when they visit the New York Rangers tonight. The Jets enter the game 6 points back of surging Nashville for first in the Central Division. The Preds have won 8 in a row and are home to Dallas tonight. Vancouver Canucks forward Brock Besser will likely miss the rest of the NHL season after the team said he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks with a back injury. He was carted off on a stretcher last night in the Canucks' overtime win over the Islanders in Vancouver. The Raptors are home to Atlanta in NBA play tonight. The Raps enter the contest a game and a half ahead of Boston for top spot in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, Western Conference leading Houston puts its 15-game winning streak on the line at Oklahoma City. And here at the Tim Hortons Briar, Saskatchewan Stephen Laycock, as mentioned, big win this morning, 8-4 over Northern Ontario's Brad Jacobs, put his record to 3-2. Tonight, he takes on winless Nunavut at 7. That is the RMP Sportscade Sports Ticker. Get the best deals on wheels with no car crap BS at Regina Motor Products, reginamotorproducts.com. The Duke is with us here as well, along with Sportsnet's Arash Madani, live at the Brand Center. Arash, so let's go with some Jays questions, if you're down.
Let's do
from
it.
Clark and Regina. Arash, how do you see the Blue Jays bullpen rounding out?
Good question, and what's really interesting is they bring in John Axford, they bring in Al Albuquerque, and they still have Ryan Tepera, who I think is going to come out as the eighth-inning setup guy. Danny Barnes is still in that mix. But there are a few arms right there who weren't in, who weren't on the team last year, who weren't in the conversation last year, that very well could be. Roberto Osuna is still the guy, and there was so much talk, are they going to stretch him out to be a starter, etc.? That is not going to happen. That wasn't going to happen because of the money and the way the whole contract situation is going to work with him. The bullpen ended up, if there was a strength on that team last year, it ended up being the bullpen. And what they found with Tapera and Barnes, and there may be two other names that aren't household yet that may end up being by the time April or May roll around.
From Glenn in Moose Jaw, is Jose Bautista going to retire?
Glenn, I don't think so. I think Jose is way too proud a guy to go out this way. sometimes you don't get to write your own ending. I don't think Bautista is going to. Adam Lind, for instance, just signed a minor league deal with an invite to big league camp. I don't see Bautista going out that way. There still has to be some value for him. But you have right now, guys, a number of players in Florida, in Bradenton, at spring training camp, wearing a MLB Players Association uniform, who haven't signed anywhere. And basically this offseason, free agents just weren't really getting paid. A guy like Neil Walker, who's with Pittsburgh and the Mets, I mean, he's somebody who's out of a gig. There are a number of players that you would recognize who aren't having jobs. So I have a hard time believing that nobody has interest in Bautista. Maybe it takes a couple of injuries for something to happen. But what's Jose willing to play for? That's the other question. Is Jose willing to play 1 year, $1.5 million? I would think there might be a team that would be interested in him there.
Would it have to be American League, you think? And DH? Can he still play the field?
If we were having this conversation last year, I would have said absolutely he can play the field. I don't know. I mean, so if you look at 2016, there were a lot of signs there that even though the numbers weren't there, that Bautista could still perform. But then 2017, he fell off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the sign that he's totally done? I still think he's worth signing just to see. And if it doesn't end up working out, it doesn't end up working out. You cut bait. It's, you know, it's only, as baseball, it's only money. If it's only $1.5 million. But I still think he can be somewhat of a contributor somewhere. All it takes is one team, and so far it hasn't happened.
Gift and Gope.
Mm.
Quite a story. Do you know who this guy
no.
is? Raised in South Africa. His mother was the custodian for a ballpark. I saw Hazel's story on
yeah.
it. So is this guy going to play for the Blue Jays and actually do something?
He is. And here's where the story gets really interesting. Because in 2007, there was a Detroit Tigers player who went to South Africa on, you know, a bit of an ambassador mission with baseball to meet with some young up-and-coming players. And Gift Ngope was one of those kind of stars in South Africa. And that Detroit Tigers player at the time was Curtis Granderson, who is now a Blue Jay.
Wow.
So 10 years later, here went this big league player just to, you know, spread the gospel of baseball, and he meets this kid who's high school aged, and now 10 years later they are teammates in the big leagues.
And Ngope came up with the Pirates, though, right?
He did.
Yeah.
And his brother's a ball player, too.
Older or younger?
Younger.
Oh, so he's not in the majors yet. Gift is blazing the trail.
Yes.
Is as it were.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really hear many South Africans.
I was going to say, I can't even think of one off the top of my head.
And the Blue Jays are high on him. They believe he can be a real contributor. The question with the Blue Jays comes down, I mean, there are a lot of questions with them, but fundamentally to me, guys, comes down the middle of that infield. Can Devin Travis stay healthy this year? And can Troy Tulowitzki, coming off the bone spurs now that he's dealing with after the injury last year, can he produce and can he stay healthy? If the answers to those questions are yes, that is a huge, huge, you know, move forward for the Jays. I'm just seeing some warning signs right now that I don't like if I'm a Blue Jay fan. Marcus Stroman, shoulder inflammation, still isn't throwing. Josh Donaldson made his debut at third base today. Up until like two or three days ago, he had taken two at-bats in Grapefruit League action. Steve Pierce finds himself hurt. There's already a number of injuries and some significant pieces that you raise your eyebrow and you say, man, if Stroman isn't going to be ready, then what? Aaron Sanchez, all things look good right now, and you hope that continues for him. But the guys you don't want hurt, you don't want Donaldson hurt, you don't want Martin hurt.
No,
you don't want Sanchez, and you don't want Stroman.
Yep.
And you don't want Smoke either. The rest you can live with.
Except for Osuna.
And Osuna.
He's an all-star.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Next hour, you want to talk a little football?
Let's do it.
Sportsnet's Arash Madani with us live here at the Tim Hortons Briar. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries on 620 CKRM. Good afternoon, Saskatchewan, or dare I say, good evening. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Sports Cage, coming at you live from the Brandt Center, Tim Hortons Briar. Day 4 is two-thirds done, and we're going to talk a little curling, and we're going to talk a little Blue Jays baseball and CFL football and whatever else comes up. Sportsnet's Arash Madani live right here at the Brandt Center, which, by the way, Arash, for a 40-year-old facility, and you've been in a few facilities, you like this little barn we call home, huh?
Absolutely. This is my first time in here, actually. And this is a great little barn.
I love it.
I mean, it's the quintessential major junior size arena.
There was a lot of thought went into it when it was built in 1977, and Arash is here, by the way, for the Canadian Women's Basketball Championships, which will open Thursday at the U of R. But our good friend Ryan McNally is here. You've heard him reading the news all afternoon. He's down here to cover the evening draw. Ryan, Scruffy tells me that you are like a kid in a candy store.
This is my Super Bowl, Ryan.
Is it really?
See, that's the thing.
Wow.
That's why I said he's got to sit down and tell me what's going on here.
Well, really, the big game tonight for Saskatchewan fans is Saskatchewan taking on Nunavut. If Saskatchewan wins, which they should, they're 4-2, and they're looking really good to go into that championship pool, which is ever so important, because once you get past there, you go to the top four teams, which, of course, is your Page playoff, and could ultimately be Briar champions after a very rough start to the week, as they were 0-2.
They're battling back. They're battlers.
Absolutely.
You must have been pulling your hair out or your beard to be in the radio station this morning when Saskatchewan was playing Northern Ontario, and they ended up paddling them, as curling.ca called it.
To be fair, I didn't really think Saskatchewan was going to win that game, because I know that Brad Jacobs is a great talent, gold medal champion in Sochi. And so for them to beat a world-class team like Brad Jacobs really shows that this is crunch time, and they can't
hammer
afford,
time.
They can't afford another loss.
So how? Forget this for a minute. How did Canada? How did Kevin Cooey and Rachel Homan leave Pyeongchang without a medal?
I really just think that the world's caught up. And honestly,
come on.
Oh, trust me.
I've heard it all.
I've heard that the ice wasn't that good in Pyeongchang, but you can only blame the ice for so much. I genuinely think that the world has caught up to our curlers, and it happens, and especially with Canadian coaches coming overseas in most cases to coach those European and Asian teams, it was only a matter of time. U.S. winning gold in men's, that shocked me a lot. I figured Nicholas Adine had that in the bag, even with Kevin Cooey. Even if Kevin Cooey made the final. But for John Schuster to pull that out of his hat is something that I'll never be able to understand.
The pride of Lumsden, Ryan McNally here with the curling coverage, but you love the Blue Jays every bit as much, right?
Absolutely.
If not more. The aficionado right here, Arash Madani. What do you got for him on Blue Jays baseball?
Quite honestly, it's spring training, so I haven't been keeping that much of a close eye. But, signing of Curtis Granderson kind of intrigued me before the season started. And first at-bat hits a home run. So I figured, I could get around to this.
They also needed some adults in the clubhouse to mingle with the children.
They're that young, are they?
No.
Oh, immature people. Immature people. I gotcha. I gotcha. Well, just...
Growing up, growing old is not optional, but growing up is.
There
in
you
that
go.
Situation.
I'm covering, like I always say, Arash, that I'm going to get deep into the Blue Jays, and then once football starts, there's no room in your life for anything but CFL football when you're working in it, as you know. But when you're talking about injuries to Tulowitzki and Donaldson and Stroman and all these guys.
Sanchez with the blister as well.
Yeah, and that
now,
probably.
That hasn't been an issue yet, so that's good.
Yet.
But when... Is baseball like every other sport? If you're going to complain about injuries, legitimately, you can't start these guys. Then depth, to me, is an issue. You don't have the depth. Now, these are all-star players, too.
Right.
But do the Jays have a system problem? Not enough talent in their system to overcome this?
Well, I mean, it's... Here's the thing. You're not replacing Josh Donaldson with anybody.
Right.
In baseball. I mean, Manny Machado... anybody else? So it's not a system issue here. What you have is you have some real top-end talent. Now, to answer your question, they do have a system problem. They mortgaged so much for the runs of 15 and 16. I think every Blue Jay fan would take that. But even if you had a really good system, even if you were the best, there are very few teams that have players in AAA and AA who are going to come in and make an immediate impact at the big league level. There is no bigger jump from a minor league to a major league like baseball. You can have an AHL player come into the NHL.
It's not that much.
And not look at a place. You could have a player from the D League in the NBA who's going to occupy the 11th or 12th spot on your roster. They're not really going to be involved. But if you're asking a kid to come in and catch, if you're asking a kid to come in and hit big league pitching, woo boy.
It's a lot.
Different deal.
Oh, and that reminds me, by the way, we were down in Arizona last week, 2 weeks ago for our rider party.
Mm.
Very well attended. And I had occasion to check out the Giants and the Brewers.
The Riders!
Hey, there we go. Rider Pride's alive, Arash. Don't forget where you are.
I know.
At Scottsdale Stadium. And the difference, this was like first day of spring training. There was some guys that didn't belong on the Lumsden Senior Men's. Like there's a big,
sure.
But that's what it's for.
That's what it is. Now I think, I'm trying to do the mental Rolodex, that Avery Pierce of the Regina Cougars.
Sure is.
Is from Lumsden, Saskatchewan.
I graduated high school with him.
There you go.
Tells you his age,
too. Right. Exactly how old you are, bro.
Exactly. No, it's...
She's a senior, I believe, now. I think she's
junior.
Fourth year. She's a junior? Okay.
Junior.
But, well, that's... My point is just simply, I was going expecting Major League Baseball. I got a scrub game for the most part. Nick Hundley played. Pablo Estevar played. Or Pablo Sandoval, sorry. But it was not polished.
You know what,
it was not polished.
You know what spring training is after the third inning? It's the fourth quarter of a preseason football game.
Seemed that way.
Yeah.
Still cool to be in the park, though.
Absolutely.
Guys are there for their workouts, and then they just ship out after. I mean, honestly. That's...
Get in a couple of at-bats and go golf.
Yeah. Are you excited to get down to Dunedin? Of course you're excited to get down to Dunedin.
I like going at the end, too, because that's when the roster decisions are going to be made. You'll find out exactly who a couple of backups are going to be. You'll find out what the, you know, what the bullpen is going to pan out. You'll see exactly where guys are at that stage going into the season. You'll see a deeper start for a starting pitcher. You'll see a tee time be delayed a little longer for some of the position players. And that's when there was an old football coach who called it nut cutting time. So
right.
It's nut cutting time when you get to the last 10, 12 days of spring training.
Is that Etch?
Can't remember.
That
no,
sounds like one.
It was somebody with a real southern accent. So
okay. Well, the reason I ask because you always get into Dunedin late, and I thought it was like showing up at Grey Cup Saturday night, like you missed everything. But you're saying you're showing up for the meat and potatoes.
You know what it would be, Rod? It would be showing up between the first and second preseason game and being there for the last couple of weeks of practices and camp.
It's when you want to be there.
2 weeks, yeah.
From Tim in Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, writing in, he says, welcome to Saskatchewan, Arash.
Thank you, Tim.
Does our new quarterback take the Riders to a Grey Cup?
Okay. I'm not saying this because he's your quarterback, and I'm not saying this because I'm a 3 wood away from the stadium. I truly believe Zach Collaros is a superstar in the Canadian Football League. I have been a big Zach Collaros fan for quite some time. If you think back to the season where he blew out his knee against Edmonton at home, he was the most outstanding player in the league up until that point. I think a change of scenery, I think a fresh start, I think getting out of that situation Hamilton that was toxic for him, situation Hamilton that was toxic offensively, and coming here, being surrounded with some people he knows, is going to be very good for him. He is healthy, he is motivated, and he has the keys to the Jaguar. I mean, they gave him the contract, and they're giving him everything that he needs. Now, that said, I don't know if that's going to be good enough to, if that's enough to get to a Grey Cup. You know, what's blocking in front of him? I'm not really concerned about a Chris Jones defense. But that was a hell of a move. And, yeah, they're right there in the conversation now.
It's funny because I'm doing a lot of speaking in the offseason around the province, and that's the question I always get, is Collaros the man? This question right here is what I get 6-7 times a week.
Mm.
And the other question is, what happened with Zach and Hamilton? And I think what I need to say is it doesn't matter, really, what happened with Zach and Hamilton. But they just, I guess some fans see the 0-8 Zach Collaros from last year, right? And that's unfair to him. They just want to know. But it doesn't really matter, does it?
I mean, it doesn't matter, but I can tell you a little bit about what happened. There was a real power struggle in Hamilton, and there were some real issues in Hamilton, and it started even a couple of years prior to that when Tommy Condell left the team and had enough of what was going on there. And Tommy was Zach's sounding board, and he was the offensive guru there. And then Tommy sits a year out, 2016, goes to Toronto in 2017 with Trestman. Go figure, they go win a championship. It was a mess there. It was an absolute mess there. And Ken Austin continues to get a free pass, and I don't understand why. It blows me away. They lost a game. They gave up 60 points in a game.
Yeah.
60 points in a game.
60 to 1 they lost.
Right.
How did they score one?
Now, the one isn't good, but the 60 is worse.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's a problem over there, and good luck to them. Good luck to Jeremiah Masoli. But when I see Jerry Glanville,
okay, so I'm not alone on that.
The defense, well, it's 1991, right? We're getting ready for the Barcelona Olympics, right? Dave Winfield is about to be signed by the Blue Jays, right?
I wasn't even born yet.
There
right?
you go. Yeah. I have no idea what's happening in Hamilton.
Of course, they'll tell you, as you know, that they went, what, 6-4 under June Jones?
Sure.
And, hey, he's going to turn it around. These are his guys.
Well, here's the one thing about the CFL we got to remember. Okay, they're the write-off teams. So Montreal next year in their best case scenario, they go 4-14. Best case. So that's 14 losses to go around. So right off the jump, that should help Hamilton. How are things going to be in Toronto this season? I'm very intrigued. The Argos were not a very good regular season team. James Franklin is coming in. Ricky Ray returns. Marcus Brady's gone. It appears Corey Chamberlain may be gone. So if you lose both of your coordinators, how do things kind of shake out there? And then there's Ottawa that's just kind of, you know, trickling along. The East remains wide open, but I still don't foresee a scenario in which the personnel on that Ticats team is good enough for them to win the East.
Boom.
And honestly, with Zach Collaros' situation, I can think of one receiver he had to throw to, Brandon Banks. And even then.
And he didn't have a good year.
And no. And even then, he's mainly special teams returning punts and kicks. So I can't see any, you know, with I can't see any receivers in Hamilton now still. And Zach Caleros comes into a situation.
It's a dream.
Jerron Carter. Naaman Roosevelt, Caleb Hawley, Bakari Grant still around too? Exactly.
Today.
Exactly.
Today.
Jerome Messam, Cam Marshall, Trent Richardson, pretty good O-line, I think. We'll take a timeout.
Hold on, Trent didn't go sign a $50 million contract in the NFL this
offseason?
Not yet.
We are live from the Tim Hortons Briar and brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. We'll be right back on Rider Radio 620 CKRM. Sports Cage continues live from the Brand Center. The crowd filing back in for what'll it be, Ryan McNally? Draw 11, 12 tonight, I believe.
Saskatchewan plays the odd number draws, so I believe this is 11.
It's 11
or 13
tonight. Okay, Stephen Laycock, Team Saskatchewan, going for its fourth straight win here at the Tim Hortons Briar against winless none of it at 7 p.m. TSN, of course, will have it. And Sportsnet's Arash Madani is here live at the Brand Center as he is in town to call the National Women's Basketball Championships, which begin Thursday at the White House. Arash, I do have to say this, and I'm told everybody I'm a fish out of water at the curling. It's cool. I respect it. I respect the athletes. I just don't understand it. I'm used to one game a week. Really. Right? Build up, play the game, cool down, build back up, right? That thing. Not three a day. It's insane. So you don't have a lot of Briar experience, obviously.
No,
it's cool though. It's cool.
Yeah. No, it's great. I went to the mixed curling in Pyeongchang. Now that was a trip.
I don't doubt it.
Two of them, throw the rock, jump up, run down, sweep. It was.
I loved it.
Yeah.
There's European teams that actually do that in four-person curling, where the person who throws their rock is allowed to go and sweep their own.
Ryan McNally is a curler, by the way, from our newsroom. He's from Lumsden. It's your national sport there, right?
Yes.
Let me ask you this, the future for mixed curling. Like, here's what happened. I'm doing the sports cage like this. I'm watching a TV screen. I had no idea this was coming, Arash. I see somebody jump out of the hack, race down, and start sweeping. I'm like, this is great. Does it go away till the next Olympics? Will we ever see it again?
No. They have a full, like, world championships. They have
how long has this been around?
5 minutes. I mean, John Morris and Caitlin Laws literally practiced for half an hour together and then went out and won a gold medal. Went out and started the Pyeongchang Olympics.
They've also had this around, I can't remember. I have friends that do mixed doubles competitively, and they say that like they were at the Saskatoon National Playdowns for, I believe that was a couple, 3 years ago. So they've been doing this for quite some time, just kind of flying under the radar.
We need more of it.
But I'll tell you what, no, it will continue with the Olympics because it is programming. It is about television hours.
Quick.
At the Olympics.
Yeah. So we're kind of jumping back and forth on our topics here. That's the beauty of Arash Madani. Matt in Regina writes in and says, welcome to Saskatchewan,
Thank
Arash.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be here, man.
What do you think John Gibbons' strengths and weaknesses are? The skipper of the Blue Jays.
Can tell you a lot of weaknesses, that's for sure.
Oh, come on now.
How's this about his strengths? Players coach?
John Gibbons is the furthest thing from a micromanager, which some people may look at that as a negative. But understand this. These baseball players play 162 games in 180 days. They have binders of scouting reports every day. They're watching video every day. John Gibbons goes up to a player and says, are you good? Are we ready to rock? Yes or no? Just be straight with me. John Gibbons does not play political games. John Gibbons is very open, very honest, very blunt with his guys. And that is a necessity in this age of professional sports. Players know where they stand with John Gibbons, which is very important, especially if you're a fringe roster player, you're not sure what your situation is going to be. The other strength John Gibbons has is he delegates well. Pete Walker is his pitching coach. He trusts Pete Walker implicitly. There were times a couple of years ago, especially, they were calling for Pete Walker's head. John had his back. He puts his people in situations and allows them to go do their job. And he doesn't get in their way. And those, you know, those are important things. So I like the man. I like the manager. And he doesn't really give us a lot. It's the same old kind of soundtrack when John Gibbons speaks. But he is a player, he is a manager, rather, that is good for a veteran team, not for a young team.
Are you surprised he's still around with this regime?
Yep, I am. I thought when Shapiro and Atkins came in, they would have more of a... You just saw the Dodgers and the Astros get to the World Series. You have two analytics-based managers where the front office is pulling a lot of the strings in the decision-making and how long pitchers last, etc. I thought there would be one of those type of managers to come in. Now, all this said, if the Blue Jays struggle out of the chute, if they're not in the conversation come Canada Day, John Gibbons is gone. That's the reality. That's how this is going to shake down, and then they're going to go to the trade deadline. They're going to unload. But if they're winning, they could add at the deadline. So the first 2 months of this season, critical for players if they want to stay in Toronto, and the first 2 months are critical for Gibbons and his staff.
I have a bet with Scruffy. He says the Winnipeg Jets will go further in the playoffs. I say the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't really care. I just wanted to argue with Scruffy.
Sure.
He says...
That's a fun thing to do.
Of course.
I love
Ryan's a Leafs fan. He's Joe Toronto over here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I hear from the Leafs fans, well, we're going to line up against Tampa Bay. We won't have a chance. Are they good enough to do... Who do you think... I know you're not big on predictions and stuff, but who would you put your money on?
I would say matchup is a big part of it, but... I like this Leaf team, man.
So do I.
They pushed Washington 7 last year.
Six.
Six last year. Six. And there's a lot to like if they're healthy. And I'll tell you that, Mr. Anderson and Nett, that dude's been balling out. They're hitting a little bit of a rough patch right now. I understand that. But they don't play again until Saturday, I don't think. They played last night in Buffalo, the 4-game losing streak on a bad road trip. But the coach is pretty good, the talent's pretty good, and the goaltender is pretty good. But I don't foresee either of those teams
going to
the Stanley Cup.
It's going to be fun, though. I always say when the Leafs are in the playoffs, it makes the playoffs better. And I'm not even a Leaf fan.
Me neither.
I
agree with you. And I would say Montreal is also one of those because the Bell Center gets alive. Ottawa, Calgary don't really move the needle. Edmonton's another fun place. When they're making a run, it's something the whole country kind of gets behind. Maybe because it's still part of that whole Gretzky Messier legacy. But yeah, when the Leafs are in the playoffs and if they're winning, it's fun.
It's fun for everybody. Well, thanks for coming down, Arash.
Yeah, man.
Ryback,
great to be here.
Enjoy the evening draw.
I shall.
We're going to go get some pizza.
Yes. I look forward to it.
We'll see you tomorrow, Saskatchewan, on day 5 of the Tim Hortons Briar. We've been brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries on 620 CKRM.